It's getting to be that time of year. How are we going to fix up the house? Are we going to redo a bathroom? Is it time to redo the kitchen? Is it time to put on a porch or a deck? Well, if you actually want to enjoy the fruits of your labor and have your house fixed up and you want it done so you can enjoy it this summer, you better call SNR Remodeling fast. Yeah, contractors actually fill up quite quickly this time of year because there are a lot of people looking to fix their homes up. They like their neighborhoods, right? They like big trees. They like their unique homes. So if you want a good remodeler who has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau, you're going to love SNR Remodeling. Scott Nyland's been at this for almost 30 years now. Started pretty young. He's got a great group of guys that work for him, and they're not too expensive, but they're not too cheap. They use good materials, and they know what they're doing. And you don't pay until you're 1,000% happy. Yep, you have a lot of choices, but go to the guy that's going to bring you the most references and the guy that's going to work the hardest for you to make sure that you get an accurate estimate and that you're on the same page throughout the entire process. That's the difference. Honest, accurate estimates with quality craftsmen. Therefore, you're going to end up being very happy. And he is definitely the home of the repeat customer. Here's their phone number, 222-8044, 222-8044. Website, SR Remodeling. The Facebook page, SNR Remodeling. All right, that's it. SNR Remodeling. Welcome to another podcast at sliceoffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers. Joining us now, State Representative Lisa Subek from the 78th Assembly District. Lisa, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm here on the fabulous southwest side of Madison.
So what is this tax the rich? Why do you hate the rich so much?
You know, Sly, what we have proposed to do, a group of progressive Democrats, along with Chris Taylor and I, have proposed a bill that would provide middle-class tax relief. It's really a simple bill. It's not about taxing the rich per se. It's about a fair tax system for a fair economy that works for everyone. And what this bill would do is it would roll back a tax credit that was given by the legislature in the last legislative session. Via that tax credit, 11 millionaires are slated to get $22 million in tax credits this year. 11 people, $22 million in tax credits.
Well, they have to feed their families.
Yeah, and when I say millionaires, I'll be clear, we're talking multimillionaires. These are people who earn over $35 million a year. So, I mean, we are talking truly about folks at the top of this income spectrum. So what our bill proposes to do is we roll back that credit. We say, wait a minute, we should not be giving handouts to, you know, millionaires and big corporations. We restructure our tax brackets to ensure that those at the top end do pay their fair share. And we take that money and we put it directly into middle-class tax relief. And, you know, we know that the rich are getting richer, middle-income people are working harder and harder just to survive, and it's time we turn that around.
Did you see this piece that Jason Stein wrote from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel saying your plan is doomed?
I have not seen his piece.
Yeah. He said Wisconsin would cut taxes on middle-income people and raise taxes on factory owners under a doomed bill offered by the Assembly Democrats.
Well, you know, I think it's pretty sad if the word that he's getting from Robin Voss and the Republicans is that a bill to provide middle-income tax relief and to fairly, you know, to stop giving tax breaks to big corporations and millionaires and instead, you know, take back those handouts and put it directly into middle-class tax relief. If that is doomed, we are in real trouble. And I mean, sadly, that is where the Republicans have gone. You know, the Republicans have created a rigged economic system. You know, they leave low and middle income families behind while they give those handouts to those big corporations, to wealthy individuals. Really, in many ways, their campaign donors is who they're giving those breaks to.
Well, let me read a statement from really one of the great political leaders in Wisconsin history. I mean, I put him up there with Gaylord Nelson and Russ Feingold, all right? I put him right there. It's like Nelson, Feingold, Voss, Robin Voss. I mean, what a tremendous leader he has been in this state. Here's what he says, and I know you feel the same way I do, Lisa. Now is not the time to raise income taxes. Everyone in our state needs tax relief, especially the people who are growing the economy. Assembly Democrats want to raise income taxes by $400 million and tax farmers and business owners. When Republicans have reduced taxes by $4.7 billion since 2011 with no support from the Democrats, it seems the Assembly Democrats need a lesson in economics. When you raise income taxes, you drive out the most successful employers and citizens.
Yes, I think what Robin Voss missed was that this bill is revenue neutral. What we are looking at here is rolling. I mean, this is the Republicans have stacked the deck. It's Robin Voss and, you know, his party who have stacked the deck against middle-income families. These are the folks who have driven down wages, who have given tax breaks and handouts and even, you know, pieces of law, pieces of legislation to these millionaires and corporations. And, you know, we're tired and people are tired of seeing the big corporations get all the breaks while the average person is doing nothing but working harder and harder to make those corporations rich, you know, and it's time we turn that around. Our policy is a revenue neutral proposal. We don't generate any new taxes with our proposal. But what we do is we add a little bit of fairness to our system of taxation. I think that's really what people are looking for. They're looking for a little bit of fairness there.
Well, as Representative Hinz has so ably stated in the past, is these breaks are no springs attached. They don't have to produce any jobs to get this tax credit. They just hand this money to these people. And from what I see over the last year, once again, Wisconsin ranks at the bottom of new job creation, and we lost 4,000 manufacturing jobs in Wisconsin.
Right, right. And these corporations that are getting these big, big handouts from our government aren't doing anything to earn them. You know, it is one thing for the state to, you know, invest in ensuring that, you know, we have the infrastructure we need, you know, that we have the jobs we need for our people. But that's not what these breaks are doing. If we don't do that, let's put money in the transportation fund, fund our roads, and fund some well-paying jobs as we do it. Instead, what we see Republicans doing is driving down wages at every turn. I mean, we see it coming up this week. Tomorrow, the Assembly will be voting on a bill that bans what are called project labor agreements. And project labor agreements are a tool for which local government, when they're contracting for projects or investing in public-private partnerships, gives them the opportunity to make sure we get the most bang for our buck.
Representative Subek, did you just say tool? You realize that's right out of the Walker vernacular.
Well, you know, tools are not a bad thing. My dad taught me that. But truly, so, I mean, I think the problem that we have here is that we have a rigged system. And the people who benefit from that rigged system are the people who fund Robin Voss's campaign. They're the people who invest in electing Republicans. And as a result, we have policies that are skewed toward the wealthy. They're skewed toward the big corporations that screw over the working people. And it is time we turn that around. And our proposal, I mean, it's a simple proposal. Simply restructure some of our taxes to make a fairer system and to ensure that middle-class families who are working hard, who are out there doing their fair share, actually have what they need to make ends meet and put food on their families' tables.
The piece that ran on Wisconsin Public Radio this morning, and yeah, I do pop on public radio once in a while, talked a little bit about the fact that when it comes to creating manufacturing jobs, it should be more of a federal strategy with the states, and that as long as we continue to have free trade deals that allow manufacturers to, you know, move the jobs overseas and then ship them back into the country duty free, it's no matter what tax cut Scott Walker hands out, cheap labor is cheap labor.
Right, right, and you're right about that, science. Certainly, you know, our on a national level, our trade policy has been a major problem for far too long, and I don't expect that to change significantly.
Well, yeah, so far Donald Trump has not. He talks a good game, but he has not introduced anything that would repeal NAFTA or go after a permanent trade status with China. I haven't seen one proposal from him.
Right, right. Well, and, you know, what we need may be a national and state strategy together. It may be that we
Germany
need a better
does.
State strategy, but the reality is what we are doing is not working. Republicans just keep throwing money at corporations and thinking they're going to get something out of it. And what they're doing
do
is
they
they're
really
good
think,
money after bad. They're throwing
do they really
away
think,
taxpayer money.
Do they really think that, or are they just bought off?
I don't know if they really think that or if they're just bought off. But either way, it is what they are doing. What Republicans are doing is handing out more and more money to these big corporations, giving them all the breaks that they could possibly ask for, and they're not asking for anything in return. There's no accountability here. Let's turn that around. Let's start putting money back into the pockets of our hardworking people, of, you know, the families in Wisconsin who, you know, are the fabric of our state.
Do the Assembly Democrats have a different strategy this time? You're coming out of the box with an alternative. An alternative to the Republicans' budget, an alternative to their form of taxation. Are we going to see more things put on the table by the Assembly Democrats?
Yeah, I think you will see more and more things over the next few weeks here from Assembly Democrats that are proposals that really and truly fight for our families, you know, that really get at this idea that we need a fair economy. We need an economy that works for everybody, not just the rich, not just those at the very top. And I think that you will be seeing, and certainly I know we have a number of proposals in the works, to ensure that work pays, that, you know, somebody going to work every day can earn a living and put food on the table for their children, to ensure that people have access to work, that, you know, make you know, in many ways, I think of it as making work pay again. You know, I talk to so many people in my district and throughout the state who talk about going to work every day and still not being able to make ends meet. Democrats, we're going to be out there. We're going to be fighting for you and your families to ensure that you can make ends meet. Republicans, I think we're going to see more of the same. Tax breaks for millionaires and giveaways to big corporations.
It's hard, though. They can drown out your message with, you know, somebody picks up the phone, in comes the outside money from out of state. You get ALEC money, you get Coke money, you get money from the Chamber of Commerce, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. It's such a tough battle.
Right, and sadly, you ask who the Republicans are working for. The Republicans are working for all those groups that you just named, whether it's the Koch brothers, whether it's Americans for Prosperity, whether it's ALEC, and I think these are all hopelessly intertwined groups as well.
Well, they're the ones
are working for, you know, and as Democrats, we want to work for the people of our state, the people who elect us, the hardworking families of Wisconsin.
They're the ones that write those groups write the legislation.
Absolutely. And a number of these bills, you know, we see popping up in states throughout the country, and we see, you know, Republicans' attacks on working people, whether it's driving down wages, whether it's making it, you know, harder to take some time off to care for a sick family member. All of these are, you know, bills that don't just hit Wisconsin. They're hitting other parts of the country, too. And it's clearly part of an organized political right-wing strategy.
You know, it's these project labor agreements where if the project is receiving some sort of state money or municipal money, making sure that the money stays in the community and people that are qualified to build these buildings get paid a decent and living wage. What is wrong with that?
There is nothing wrong with that, Cyan. You know, I served on the city council in Madison, so I dealt with some of these project labor agreements. And one of the things that, you know, any time, and the city of Madison has a long history of, you know, contention and people
really?
Arguing over whether we should invest in a, you know, private project or a public-private partnership and things
I've
like that.
I've never noticed that.
But you know what the one thing that I consistently heard from my constituents was, I want to know the money's well spent. You know, some people thought they were good ideas, bad ideas, but ultimately they wanted to know the money was well spent. And for me to justify public investment to my constituents, if I could go back and say, hey, this is going to put people to work right here in our community, and these jobs are going to go to people who live here in our community, not somebody bringing in a crew from Illinois or Minnesota or some other state, But these jobs are going to go to folks right here in our community. They're going to pay a living wage. And the money that those folks make is going to go right back into our community because they spend it here locally. They grow our local economy. That was how I could justify to my constituents that we were spending their money well. They wanted to know that that money was well spent. And what the Republicans have done is said, no, go ahead, send those jobs out of state. You know, they're setting up a system that drives down wages and that chases good-paying jobs out of Wisconsin.
Well, let's put this in perspective. When Scott Walker was caught on tape when he first was elected governor, first took office, in Beloit, there he was with Diane Hendricks, and she says, how can we turn this into a red state? How can we turn this into a right-to-work state? And he said, divide and conquer. Well, you know, he had been saying publicly all along, oh, I don't have a problem with unions. I can work with the operating engineers. I can work with some of these trade unions. I just have a problem with the public sector unions because the taxpayers are getting ripped off. Well, boy, did he sell, and not all those unions bought into that, but boy, did he sell them a bill of goods.
Oh, yeah. Boy, did he ever.
I mean, we're talking.
And I remember that, and I remember it well.
Right to work. Now, how is he doing another attack on prevailing wage, correct?
I don't have all the details on that.
One of the things, this was always a passion of former State Representative Mark Pocan and former State Representative Andy Jorgensen, the Buy American provision. This is a pretty simple bill, isn't it?
Absolutely, and actually what I proposed yesterday and tried to bring up for a vote on the floor is a bill that we introduced several weeks ago here that takes a step further. It's a Buy Wisconsin bill. And, you know, it's a bill that sets minimum standards, minimum goals, a goal of 20% of the state's purchases and local government purchases be procured from Wisconsin-based businesses. It is a simple bill. It set some goals that help us, again, get at that idea of we need to keep money here in our state. We should be creating jobs here at home, and we should be ensuring that money is spent here in our state and to grow our economy. So what this, you know, what the bill would have done, had the Republicans been willing to take it up, is to set some basic standards and make sure that, you know, we're actually thinking about where our money's spent and that we are valuing those Wisconsin jobs, and valuing those Wisconsin businesses. I mean, for folks who claim to be pro-business, Republicans certainly blew it on this one because, you know, if you're pro-Wisconsin businesses, you should be all for, all for spending money here locally.
Now, does this just apply to the state of Wisconsin, or does it apply to municipalities as well?
The way that the bill is written, what I did was I didn't want to usurp the local control on this, but I wanted to try to bring our local governments along. So the local government would have an option of, you know, how they participate in this. We do ask that they report on how much of their procurement would be be spent on Wisconsin businesses, and certainly the bill calls for them to set that same 20% goal. However, they do have the ability to opt out of that, understanding that each community is unique and that, I certainly hope they would follow our example, though, and follow through on it.
Now, I remember during previous debates on this, Speaker Voss, who, again, you know, I know he's one of your favorites, he actually said that this bill is picking winners and losers. And yeah. I thought to myself, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and, you know, the question I would have for Speaker Voss then is, you know, what better value can we get for our taxpayer dollars than when our taxpayer dollars stay right here in Wisconsin and support jobs for our residents and boost our state's economy and boost the economies of our local communities? I mean, yeah, I guess my question would be, how do we get more value than that? And, you know, I don't think there's any winners or losers picked here. I think it's, you know, looking at not only are we procuring goods, but we're doing it for the good of our citizenry.
Well, and people with higher wages can go out and buy popcorn.
That's true.
Doesn't Robin Voss sell popcorn?
I believe he does have a popcorn company, yeah.
Yeah, okay. This is a pretty remarkable time period. We're seeing a president who is off his rocker. I don't know how to put it any other way. Maybe you can find a politer way to put that. Republicans are, and you certainly have spent a career of trying to help women and children and families. How frightened are you of what's going to happen with Wisconsin citizens and their health care?
Seeing what came out yesterday from Republicans, incredibly concerning. I mean, obviously, there's a lot that remains to be seen. This is still relatively new. I'm still digesting all of it. But I think, you know, what is crystal clear is that Republicans do not value ensuring that we all, that all citizens have access to good quality and affordable health care. And, you know, I mean, they're blowing that up. We made such progress over the last 8 years on health care federally. And to see that turned upside down, I mean, now the latest things coming out from the federal government will not only jeopardize all of the individuals who gained coverage through Obamacare, but also puts in the jeopardy how Medicaid works and, you know, could send that entire system into a downward spiral. I think it's very concerning.
So what would happen if what would happen to some of these people?
I try to think about, you know, what happens if you don't have health insurance. And I think about some of the folks that have been through my office now and over the years, folks that I worked with when I was, you know, still working in social services. And a lot of those folks would not have access to health care. And, you know, I mean, I guess what happens when you don't have access to health care? You become sicker and sicker, and eventually you die from that. And that's terrifying. But that's the system the Republicans are setting up.
It's hard for me to understand, knowing how Republicans have gone after wages, how Republicans have supported corporations moving jobs overseas, how Republicans have, you know, just failed to provide a decent safety net, how they cannot understand the life and death consequences of health care. And I heard Ann Coulter this afternoon. I know she's also one of your favorites. Aren't you a big Ann Coulter fan?
Oh, yes, okay. Terribly.
She was saying that we just need to let the free market take care of this, and that really when it comes down to it, we probably only need to help about 3% of the population if we just let the free market do its job.
You know, the free market had generations to take care of the health care problem, and quite frankly, it didn't work. And while Obamacare certainly relied on some market-based pieces, we also have to acknowledge that there are people whose health care needs are so great that they will not be taken care of by this free market. The free market is not benevolent. You know, and I think that, you know, it's surreal to hear people say that. I mean, we have had, since full implementation of Obamacare, just a few years here, and the free market had generations to solve this problem, and it didn't. It failed. And if that's what we're going back to, we are all in real trouble.
State Representative Lisa Subak from the 78th Assembly District, thanks for coming on the podcast today.
Thank you so much for having me, Sly.
This is SlysOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers.
SlysOffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.
Making stuff matters, because when we make things in America, America makes it. American workers and families make it. Our communities make it. Consider this. For every one manufacturing job in our communities, 5 more jobs are supported. Manufacturing jobs pay an average of 10 to 50% more than service sector jobs. That allows working families to support their local businesses, schools, emergency services, and more. Creating 2.5 million new manufacturing jobs would mean at least $100 billion for our economy over the next decade. Domestic manufacturing is the green economy. It's among the cleanest, most efficient, and productive in the world. That's why the United Steelworkers and our more than 1 million members and retirees are fighting so hard to protect and grow manufacturing. Because making stuff really does matter. Join our fight. Visit usw.org and like us at facebook.com/steelworkers. Support American manufacturing. Buy American. Buy Union.